morning church.
Morning.
Awesome. I've named this one, What Are You Afraid Of? One more time, What Are You Afraid Of? There's a popular book, Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. I don't know if any of you have heard that book, Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway by Susan Jeffers. And she says, people are normally afraid of changing their jobs, public speaking, asserting yourself, going for an interview, losing a loved one, beginning a relationship. These are things that generally people are afraid of. Susan asked the question, which one of these are you afraid of? As fear seems to be everywhere. So in a previous message, I asked, what is faith? I also said in a previous message before, God intends it for good. Another message I did, I said, can God trust you to do the right thing? Today I'm asking you individually, what are you afraid of? Bible says, do not be afraid. In fact, it says that 365 times within the Bible, one for each day. And the only reason why God puts it so many times, because he knows there will be fear in our life for something, death of a loved one, whatever it is. There's always that fear. And even in the Bible, the men of God, you see examples of this fear as well. So, and my Bible character that I'm going to speak about today is no exception. Actually, Basima spoke about that Bible character. In April, she said, and she called it The Burning Bush. That's what she titled her message, The Burning Bush. So I guess you begin to think who that character is. She talked about the burning bush. Alex, in May, spoke about that same character. And he called it Moses is Sent. So yes, my character today is Moses. But if I was to ask you to tell me something about Moses, you might say, born of a Hebrew woman. You might say he was hidden in the river and the daughter of Pharaoh found him. You might say he killed an Egyptian and he fled. You might say he heard of, through God, speaking through the burning bush. But I doubt any of you would say Moses was fearful. That's not what you would automatically say about Moses. You would quickly reveal some of the ones I mentioned before. So I want to talk about this. I'm going to ask Phillips here to read.
So I'm reading from Ephesians.
Exodus.
So it starts with E. I'm reading from Exodus, chapter 3. So we're going back a bit, verses 7 to 18. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent you. And they ask, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, said to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. Go, assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to me and said, I have watched over you. I have seen what has been done to you in Egypt. I have promised to bring you out of your misery in Egypt into the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, a land that is flowing with milk and honey.
And finish with 18.
The elders of Israel will listen to you. Then you and the elders are going to the king of Egypt and say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. Let us take a three-day journey into the wilderness to offer sacrifice to the Lord our God.
Good. So to recap, Moses asked God, who am I? But God told him who he is. So the issue really that matters is not who we are, but who God is. The solution is about God. The solution to our issues, all the fears that we have, as I mentioned, I outlined some of those fears before, as I started initially. But the issue is not about our fears. It's not about who we are, what we can or cannot do. It's really who God is. So that's when Moses was saying, who am I? God's really nothing to do with you, really. It's who I am that matters. So when he went to the elders, he used the name I Am. And actually, that name I Am was in existence long before Yahweh, long before Jehovah. That is what the name they would have expected. So when he used that name I Am, they said, aha. They were able to understand the context and the person he's speaking. Let me give you an example. And I have Jane here, so I'm going to use Jane. So Jane just came back from a lovely holiday. So suppose while Jane was still in Antigua, I said to Ruth, hi Ruth, Jane wants me to take her car from her drive and drive it up to London. I would have to demonstrate, I would have to say something to Ruth that would convince her that I've already had a conversation with Jane about that matter. So I'm using that analogy to say when God used the name I Am, he was able to demonstrate to the Israelites, they were able to see that connection and have that confidence that Moses is speaking the truth. It's that connection, that authenticity is what we're looking for. So God said to the people that they would believe him, Moses, if he uses the word I Am. If I can get Haley, Phillips, you still have the mic? If you can pass it to Haley for me, please, just to continue the story.
Then Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they will say, the Lord has not appeared to you. So the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? He said, a rod. And then he said, cast it on the ground. So he cast it on the ground and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from it. Then the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. And he reached out his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. that they may believe that the Lord, God of their fathers, and the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Furthermore, the Lord said to him, now put your hand in your bosom. And he put his hand in his bosom. When he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous, like snow. And he said, put your hand in your bosom again. So he put his hand in his bosom again and drew it out of his bosom. And behold, it was restored like other flesh. Then it will be, if they do not believe you, nor heed the message of the first sign, that they may believe the message of the latter sign. And it shall be, if they do not believe these two signs or listen to your voice, that you shall take water from the river and pour it onto dry land. The water which you take from the river will become blood on the dry land. Then Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant. but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. So the Lord said to him, Who made man's mouth? Who can make the mute or the deaf, the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will teach, and I will be with you. Hang on, let me back up. Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what to say. But he said, O my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, Is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well, and look, he is also coming to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. Now you shall speak to him and put words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what to say. So he shall be your spokesman to the people, and he himself shall be as a mouth for you, and you shall be to him as God. And you shall take this rod in your hand with which you shall do the signs.
Thank you. Can you pass it to Teresa? Let's just continue. So this is Moses is not certain that this is a good idea. He actually thinks it's a bad idea. And he's trying to wiggle out. If you can continue, Teresa.
20 to 21, first of all, yeah, hold on. So Moses took his wife and sons, put them on a donkey, and started back to Egypt. And he took the staff of God in his hand. The Lord said to Moses, When you return to Egypt, see that you perform before Pharaoh all the wonders I have given you the power to do. But I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go. And then down to verse 27. The Lord said to Aaron, Go into the desert to meet Moses. So he met Moses at the mountain of God and kissed him. Then Moses told Aaron everything the Lord had sent him to say, and also about all the miraculous signs he had commanded him to perform. Moses and Aaron brought together all the elders of the Israelites, and Aaron told them everything the Lord had said to Moses. He also performed the signs before the people, and they believed. And when they heard that the Lord was concerned about them and had seen their misery, they bowed down and worshipped.
Thank you. So I have identified a number of excuses. So the first one, Moses' excuses. Who am I? You got the wrong person. That's his first thing. God says, I will be with you. That's all that matters. What shall I tell? I'm not ready. God, tell you what to say. I will give you the message at the right time. It's an excuse. What if they don't believe me that you sent me? God says, show them the miracles. If I stutter when I speak, God says, I will help you to speak and tell you what to say. What if I'm not the right person? Send someone else. God says, I will send Aaron to help you. So I've concluded in this. Whenever God gives you a task to do, the fact that it's important means that you can't do it in your own strength. You need faith, and you're going to get supported, whether it's supported by the rest of the church or a friend or colleague. God's simple tasks, that's why you can't do them in your own strength. You would need God's resources, God's spirit, in order to allow you to do the task that he set before you. So, he will go with you. He will never leave you alone. One, he will tell you what to say, when to say it, and how to say it. He will give you power. He will give you confidence. He will give you skill. He will send colleagues or some kind of support to surround you so that the task that he's asking you to do can be achieved. So let's put that in a real life situation. So Phillips here mentioned about the fact that in shortly we're going to have, what is it called? The Youth Cafe. So this is something that obviously the Lord is asking us to do. So we're going to have to be willing to take that step. We can't say like Moses, you know, try to find some kind of reason to wiggle out. So we're going to have to take that step and embark on it. It might be daunting. We might be apprehensive. But we have to remember all those excuses that Moses had, they are answers and solutions. So my point here today is to encourage us to get behind any activity that the church is putting on. Really make an effort to commit to supporting it, whether it's through the prayer because you can't physically be there, you might be at work during the time. But if you can support it spiritually or if you can support it physically, my aim is to encourage all of us to get involved. And that was my talk for today. Thank you.